is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Bigney, with my wife, Vicky, joining me to help you with your words.
Hello, Thrive family. We're so happy to be back with you.
Yeah, and we've been digging into what's at the very heart of any healthy relationship. They know how to talk to each other. They understand each other. I hope you realize friendship is more than just, oh, we both love the Bengals, or mm-hmm. we both love watercolor, or we both love hiking. You probably do, but if you don't know how to talk to each other without hurting each other, that still won't be a friendship, one that lasts. Friendships begin because of something shared in common. They continue because you learn each other well enough that you know how to listen and how to talk. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be some hurt. But the question really comes down to, does the hurt outweigh the benefit?
Right.
And when it does, after a while, human beings don't want to stay in it.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about words. Your mouth in your marriage matters. Your mouth in your marriage matters. And Bible talks about it being like a fire that the tongue can start, and a rudder that directs the entire course. Your marriage arrived where it is today, being steered by your mouth and the words you were. So we're trying to steer you in a new direction. So maybe you've been listening the last several shows and thought, okay, help us, help me. What if you've already blown it and been doing this so wrong? In other words, you've burned it down to the ground. With your words, you've started so many fires. Where would you begin in rebuilding after a season of hurtful words or a pattern of hurtful words? Well, Vicky, what do you think is a step one starting point for rebuilding when there's really been poor use of words?
Right. I think the first starting point would be take full responsibility for your part in the argument. So you might say, well, my part's only 20% and his is 80%. That's great. Then you take 100% responsibility for your 20%.
Yeah.
And once again,
and I might add, don't mention to them that you think yours is only 20.
Right. Hey, by the way, mine's only 10 or mine's 7, but yours is what, 93?
Yeah. And everyone always thinks that.
Right. I was going to say, that doesn't even mean that's a true interpretation.
That's right.
But in your mind, even if that's what you think, at least for whatever part that you were a part of the problem in the communication, take full responsibility.
And I love what she's saying right now because, this was a game changer for Brad Bigney. I was convinced that my part was not much.
And so was I. So how does that work?
Already a problem.
He thinks his was 10. I think mine was 10.
We've talked about with
pride. We
only
had 20%.
But when I got a hold of this notion,
someone was wrong.
It doesn't matter what percentage is mine.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
Bring 100% of my effort to repent.
Your A game.
And bring my A game to that part.
Mm-hmm.
And that will make, so if you're allowing your thoughts that my part is not that huge of a part, therefore I don't need to put forth much
that's
effort.
That's going to affect you.
You're never going to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get each person in the marriage focus on their own part. The way I say it to my counselees, and I get them to memorize this, see your own sin first.
Mm-hmm.
See your own sin as worse because it's yours.
Right.
And see your own sin is what you need to be working on most.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. If you could do that, you won't have as much time to be looking at
and
your
spouse. And to clarify on point number two, see your own sin as worse. In all reality, it may not be. Like I said, you could be maybe 30%
of the problem. On an earthly level regarding consequences of what it's
right.
causing.
Yeah. But it's worse because it's yours.
Yeah.
And it's the only thing you can do something about is your issues.
Because what I mean by that is you will not stand before God for your spouse's sins. You'll stand before God for yours.
Exactly.
So whatever part is yours, it's worse.
Mm-hmm.
As far as in your mind, it should be. So
right. See
your own first. When you're not seeing yours and you're so busy on looking at theirs, that's
exactly.
a problem. When you don't think yours is very bad, therefore I don't need to work mm-hmm. on it, that's a problem.
And once again, I could say we were both entirely guilty of this
mm-hmm.
early on in our marriage. And once again, we had a very bad marriage. So take full responsibility for your part in the argument. So some examples would be not just say, well, I'm sorry you were offended, but...
Oh, sorry if you were offended.
Yeah, kind of sorry if you were offended.
Yeah.
But instead, it would be better to say, I spoke harshly to you. That was wrong. I'm so sorry. Will you forgive me?
Yeah. Because you realize when you're trying to move in a new direction, it's very important that you truly, truly own it and you're not still finding, even if you think it's a little way, a little way to add a barb
mm-hmm.
to the end of what you think is helpful. Well, I'm sorry if that offended. Well, I'm sorry if my poor response to your terrible attitude.
I
just want to help you own
it.
Take full responsibility and don't word it in a way that it shows you're still feeling the need and you think it's important to remind them of what they're doing wrong.
Right.
Don't do that.
So
just own it.
Kind of go on with the next statement. Don't make excuses and don't have some explanation first like, well, I was tired and you always bring things up at bad times, but I'm sorry I was short with you. Well, you might as well just not even say that.
That's right.
Because they're not hearing that.
Yeah.
They're still hearing, it's my fault that I brought it up the wrong time, that you were short with me.
So when you begin to resolve whatever is sideways, take full responsibility and
mm-hmm.
don't pepper it with explanations or excuses that still diminish and make it sound like just own it.
Right.
Own it. I think step number 10, step number two, let's not jump ahead. Step number two would be name the sin.
Uh-huh.
Oh, we've tried to practice this. When I said that, I attacked your character. That wasn't kind. That wasn't right.
Right.
Will you please forgive me? I should have kept it focused on behavior and what we're wrestling with together.
Yeah. And I really like this, Brad, because you've said before, when you name the sin, it really helps because you didn't sin in fuzzy land, so you can't repent in fuzzy land.
Really good.
And I think you just don't realize naming the damage rebuilds safety and hope for your spouse because it helps them realize, maybe for the first time ever, the person that my spouse is actually starting to understand.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about and where they went wrong. And it gives you hope. Even if they don't do it quite perfectly, please show grace. You know, once again, some of you have never done this. You've never said, I'm sorry. So this may be very new to you, but so if it's new for you, then give your spouse grace, even if they are attempting to do this.
So as your spouse might for the first time try to do this, guess what? They probably won't get it perfectly.
Right.
But if you begin to critique...
Right.
And do scorecard on how they did it. Guess what? They'll decide,
I just won't try
that again.
Yep.
So don't do that.
Because it takes humility for them to come at this.
Own your own. Take full responsibility
mm-hmm.
for your part. And then I got to be honest, don't play the game of, well, I'll own mine.
Mm-hmm.
And in this same conversation, they'll own theirs.
Right.
I hope they do. But guess what? They don't always.
Right.
So your motivation has to be back to 2 Corinthians 5:9 that we brought so many times. Therefore, we make it our aim, please him. God is pleased that you're owning your part.
He is.
And so you do not need to walk away disappointed, but she should have said,
mm-hmm.
or he should have said, and I'm sorry, and maybe they didn't. It'd be sweet if they would.
Yeah.
But you're still pleasing God, and you're still a winner. You're not a loser. Sometimes we think, well, I don't want to be the loser.
Right.
That's not a loser. Pleasing God is never a loser. And then name it. Bring it out of fuzzy land.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong when I cut you off.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong when I finished that sentence for you. I was wrong
when I exploded.
Will you please forgive me? So you don't want to just say, hey, everything that happened a minute ago, sorry.
Or last night, yeah.
That's not as good. Your spouse would love to see more particulars because it happened specifically
in real time.
And they will be encouraged to hear that you get it and are thinking, wow, this is what... Here's, Vicky said it, but naming the damage begins to rebuild safety. Because your spouse is wondering, do I want to move towards you? Is this worth it or not? I hope you realize you can blow it, but when you own it and you speak specifically to it, it gives them hope again. You know what? I will. It's worth the risk.
Right.
We're talking about moving in a new direction, rebuilding after you've already burned it down with words and you've landed in a really bad place. How would you move this thing in a new direction? Where would you begin? We've given you a couple steps. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to give you some more steps that we hope will move you to a point where you have formed some new habits and you wake up one day and you say, oh my goodness, I see seeds of life springing up.
Little green pieces of grass.
Little green pieces of grass all around me in our marriage. Thank you, Lord. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a moment. And this week, they're walking couples through how to rebuild their marriage after words have been spoken and said that have done damage. They've been talking percentages this week, and I want to put a number in front of you. What is it worth to you that this show costs nothing? This resource right here that I know for a fact, because I've heard from them, has had an impact on countless marriages all over the country, is freely available. What is that worth to you? That it's not hidden behind a paywall, that you don't have to sit through a single ad. The truth is, the free access has a price, but you don't pay for it. A group of people do, and we call them gospel partners. Here's the way that works. These are men and women who have been impacted by what they've heard here over the years at Fortis Institute, and they were moved to action. They wanted to join us so that more people would also have access to this content so we could continue creating it and distributing it all over the world. And so if that's you, if you've ever been impacted by anything that you've heard here and you want to make sure that we're able to continue creating content and distributing it, and you want to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we'd be honored. You can find out more information right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. Make sure you're giving to your local church, however, and make sure that it wouldn't be a burden on your life. We never want anyone to join us as a gospel partner and joining us be a burden for them, or joining us takes away from their local church. So make sure those two areas of your life are looking good. And if they are and you can join us, again, we would be honored. And while you're out there on the internet poking around and looking at FortisInstitute.org, I'll also point you to Fortis Plus. That's our mobile app. That's how we distribute all of the content that we're creating here. Content from Brad and Vicky, and content from Dr. John Kratz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Todd Friel, Dr. Jason Lyle. They're all creating content every single day, and it all gets funneled and released through Fortis Plus, and that is free. You can download it right now from wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Now let's get back to Pastor Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive.
Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Well, we're back, and we've moved past bad seeds that are being planted by our mouth in our marriage. And we're trying to help those of you that might say, oh, wow, we have blown it. I have blown it. And we're standing on charred black ground that our words have ignited so many fires. Is there hope for us? Is there hope?
Such hope.
There really is. And as Vicky said earlier, by God's grace, we never laid hands on each other.
Thank goodness.
But I have to say, our words had charred a lot. There was deep hurt that had been caused by inappropriate, unhelpful use of words. And so we want to help that man or woman or couple that's listening saying, how would we rebuild after a season or a pattern of hurtful words? We said, number one, take full responsibility for your part. Get over playing the game, who's most wrong, and unless I think I'm most wrong, I'm not going to give 100% to your part.
Right.
And if you're like, I don't know what my part is, remember the prayer we've talked about before?
Such a good prayer.
Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, mm-hmm. O God, and know my
heart.
Remember, until you know what's going on in your heart, you're not likely to change what's coming out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious way. Sometimes we're so anxious that this has got to be the way we want it.
Mm-hmm.
That we're using words to pummel our spouse to
try
get
to control
what we want.
The situation.
We're going after victory instead of connection.
Mm-hmm.
Test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Start praying that so that you could take responsibility for your part, and then don't leave it in the dark.
Yeah.
Don't just say, yeah, I've been bad. Name the sin. When you're trying to make things right, a new habit would be name it. So when God convicts you, and I hope he would, and he's like, that was not good. When you go back to make it right, name it. When I said that, I attacked you, and I stopped talking about the issue we were talking about. That was wrong. Would you forgive me? So we're talking about name the sin, and that begins to rebuild safety. Step number three. Express understanding.
Oh, I love this one.
This is so helpful. If you keep trying to convince your spouse that they're crazy for thinking what they think, you will never feel close.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you can't even, you can't fathom why they think that.
Mm-hmm.
Super unhelpful. They do. Or why they feel that. So for you to say, I can see how that would make you feel small. If when you guys begin to try to resolve things, you just keep saying, that's ridiculous. That shouldn't have hurt your feelings. That's ridiculous.
Right.
I don't understand that. That's not helpful.
They're going to pull away versus.
And usually when you're saying that's ridiculous, I don't understand that, you haven't listened well.
Exactly.
We had a previous show, a couple shows ago, where we said, listen.
Mm-hmm.
If you would listen, they could probably help you understand more than you realize why that made them feel
right,
the way
because
they
your
did.
Spouse is always thinking something just like you're thinking something. And if you could actually get into their mind, it would make a lot more sense. But sometimes it's going to take T-I-M-E.
Yeah.
It's going to take time to draw them out and let them speak without being interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
So if you at least understand what they're thinking, that will probably help you respond in a better way.
So this entire step right here, express understanding, you cannot express understanding until you understand.
And listen. Yeah.
And that takes listening. And here's a great way to do it. Help me understand.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to say it instead of, well, help me understand.
Mm-hmm.
No, when they believe that you really mean it, well, help me understand. Help me understand. You know, we've joked about it, I think, already in a previous show, but I did not understand at all what I had done wrong in taking the eucalyptus down from the shower spigot, breaking it in three pieces and cramming it in the garbage can. And I know some of you listening are like, you're kidding me. I can't imagine. Honestly, I drove to work
oblivious
to any storm that was brewing on my marriage horizon that was coming my way. And so I needed help. So it took us a while, but I just kept saying, help me understand why that was so offensive. Help me understand why.
And there were some things I didn't understand. I didn't realize it was hitting his head.
Yeah.
And so making his
we spent
bald
probably,
head get scabs on it.
Wouldn't you say we spent an hour?
Probably 45 minutes
but
or an hour.
But it was comprised of each of us trying to understand the other's point of view.
Right.
She couldn't understand why it mattered that the eucalyptus was tied to the shower head. I couldn't understand why it mattered that I took it down and I only broke it in three pieces because it wouldn't fit in the garbage can. But we had
to. Which to me was a personal affront. He crushed my eucalyptus.
Yeah.
But we will move on.
And
we have worked through it.
But it involved listening.
Right. Understanding.
I mean, so that you can say, all right. And that did begin to resolve and lift, as I said, I can see now why that would have made you feel. I literally said that. Your spouse would love to hear you say,
yes.
They do not want to hear you're crazy.
Right.
You keep making them think they're crazy.
And I do remember, which I mean, it's just like a breath of fresh air when we've talked about before, when I came home from the grocery store and you're like, this is what it would be like to live with me. And I remember thinking, yes, like there's never a good time to ask you, can you please rehang the blinds that fell down from Lauren's in Lauren's bedroom? Because it's never a good time.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm walking on eggshells. So once you said, it's never a good time to ask me anything or expect anything from me, I'm like, yes, that's exactly how I feel. So to actually try to understand where your spouse is coming from, even if you don't totally get it and it doesn't even make sense to you, that's okay. At least you are understanding, and the fact that you're showing interest, that you want to understand them, that's huge.
I mean, I got to say, even before you reach a point of real resolution, your spouse is encouraged by the fact that you're willing
to take
the time to try.
Right.
And Vicki already said it, and she spelled it out for you, T-I-M-E. Mm-hmm. I want to say, right here on this point, express understanding, get understanding. If your marriage isn't taking much of your time, you're probably not doing it in a God-honoring way.
Because anything of value takes time.
Yeah.
And it takes work.
There's no way. Marriage was never designed to be done efficiently.
Right. Set on cruise control.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not a very efficient creature. No. It's just not. But it's so worth it.
And I think, once again, we've talked about one of God's purposes of marriage is to sanctify each of us. And so things are going to come up. But this is one of God's greatest tools he uses to make us more like Christ if we respond the right way.
And you think about it, he meant for marriage to be a greenhouse
where we get
better at this.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Then you push on outside of the home.
Exactly.
And you'll be a better listener with coworkers, a better listener with your adult kids, a better listener with that person in the gym. I think too often we make the mistake, marriage was supposed to just make me blissfully happy.
Mm-hmm.
No. There's incredible happiness.
Right.
But it's a greenhouse where he wants us to learn some of the most important things for life.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more important than people.
Right.
Created in the image of God. So as you learn to understand your spouse better, you'll probably be better all kinds of
ways. It carries over in so many relationships.
Yes. All right. And step number four, clarify what you should have done.
Mm-hmm.
It just is so hopeful to your spouse. You, in essence, you try to verbalize what a new direction would look like.
Yeah.
So you're like, next time I'm frustrated, I want to pause instead of lashing out.
Mm-hmm.
Next time I don't really understand, I want to say, help me understand, and I want to take more time to ask questions.
Yeah.
Instead of I begin to tell you, you shouldn't feel that way.
Yeah.
You tell them not just what you did wrong, but by God's grace, what you hope to do next time.
I want to do better next time.
It would be better.
That's very hope-filled for your spouse.
And even for you, yourself, as you work your way through it, imagine as you're listening, and you're not going to do it perfect. You're going to have a problem, and you're going to do it just the way you always did it. But then you're going to have another one, and maybe God, by His Spirit, helps you walk it through this way.
You do it a little better.
And you do it a little better. You guys, we are no smarter than you. We are no more godly than you.
Right.
We are no less sinful than you.
Yeah.
We have now formed habits. Wouldn't you say we formed habits to practice this? Not perfectly.
And it just doesn't take as long as it used to. So be very hopeful.
And then our problems are resolved sooner.
So much more quickly.
And we don't feel sideways with each other for days.
Because mainly we're
weeks.
Just dealing with one issue at a time.
That's right. You take full responsibility. Don't say, I'm sorry if what I did offended you. You name the sin. Don't leave it fuzzy. Mm-hmm. You seek to understand.
Huge.
And say, I can understand how that made you feel that way. But you took time to ask questions and listen to get there. And then you clarify the new direction, what you think you should do next time. Oh, listen, if you want to move from charred, blackened, burned up ground in your marriage where the tongue has lit a fire so many times, there's nothing growing. There's hope for you. He can lead you to a green marriage pasture. And at first, it's going to be little sprouts, yeah. Like you said. You don't go from charred to mature, huge, tall foliage.
But get that tripod up and start watering.
But start planting the right seeds and stop throwing the cigarette butts of wrong words on there, burning it up. And watch what God can do and wants to do for you.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.